Father, isn't it just beautiful to listen to your children joining in with all of creation to give you praise, to give you worship, to give you honor. I thank you that you enjoyed it. I thank you that we have the attention of heaven. I thank you for your holy angels who are present right now. We thank you for the wonderful privilege of having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us over 2,000 years ago. We love you because you first loved us. How do we comprehend this love? How do we understand this great, great mercy? I don't get it, Father, I don't. I don't understand this great, great grace. I don't get it. This great, great love that you would love us so much that you would come as a man, deny yourself and die in our place. I want you all to say this with me. Say, Jesus, I love you. Let's give him a praise offering right now. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you so much. I suppose we'll understand one day, amen? I was very poor, but I think, I suppose we'll understand one day, amen? I want to thank you for your wonderful response. Yeah, I know it's maybe different for many of you, and it's the first time that I've been here, and so some of you might think I'm crazy, but that's okay. I think I'm crazy sometimes too. I'm going to, you know, time just flies, and that's perhaps the saddest part of doing these kind of meetings. And like I said this morning, every meeting is different. Amen. And that's the beauty of the prophetic expression. You never know unless you know what God's going to do. But I want to share something very simple with you tonight. It's time for restoration. It's time for restoration. The word restore in the Bible is used often. And the word restore means to give back. To seize. To take it. To be given. In the Greek language, to give back. And there are many things that have been taken from the church. When I talk about the church, I talk about Christians. So if you're a Christian, you're part of the church. And Satan has for too long stolen from us. So I'm going to read you a few scriptures on what the Bible has to say about restore. And why we do not see restoration like we should see it. How many of you would like to see restoration? How many of you would like to see restoration in the nation? How many of you would like to see restoration in your home? Restoration for your children. Restoration for your marriage. Restoration for your ministry. Restoration for your health. Good. And so be it. The very first thing that the Bible talks about, well, not the first thing, but the first thing I'll talk about from the Bible, relative to restoration, is when the thief comes to steal. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30 to 31, in the NLT version, if you've got it, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30 to 31 in the New Living Translation, NLT, says these words. Have you guys got it at the back there? Okay. Is it there? It is. Excuses might be found for a thief who steals because he is starving. But if he is caught, he must pay back. He must give back. He must restore. Seven times. Don't look at me like that. It's in the Bible. Take off. Moenie my kwaad word nie. Ek het nou die Bybel geskryf nie. Don't be angry with me. I never wrote the Bible. I'm just telling you there. Why are you getting mad, some of you? Vra jouself daai vraag. Hoekom raak jy nou sommer benoud? Ek lees maar net die Bybel. I read just the Bible. Hier kom 'n ding, hier kom 'n ding. But if he is caught, he must pay back, which means restore. Give back seven times what he stole. Even if he has to sell everything in his house. Now that's in the Old Testament, but it's a principle. In the New Testament, we know who the thief is. We know who the murderer is. We know who has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. His name is Satan. And don't be afraid of the devil, asseblief. Don't be scared of the devil. John chapter number 10, verse number 10 says it. The thief does not come except to steal, and to kill, and destroy. Jesus said. He says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. In the New King James Version, it says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So the thief is Satan. And Satan has been stealing from God's people in this nation for far too long. And I think he's been caught out. The Bible says so. The Bible says Satan is the thief. That's what Jesus is talking about. Listen, man, I was called to follow Satan at the age of 5. Do I look scared of the devil? Whatever. Whatever. Yeah, you bet. And then I always get these wonderful, wonderful, blessed Christians. And they come to me and they say, ooh. You know, once I called the devil Lucy Lucifer. Hey, and the Christian had kwaad geworden. And this young lady comes to me and says, hey. You can't talk like that about the devil. I said, how would you like me to talk about him? She says, yeah. Well, not even Michael, the archangel, when contending over the body of Moses, brought a reviling accusation against Satan. I said, honey, do I look like an angel to you? Do I look like an angel? I don't glow in the dark, man. And we don't come against Satan in angelic power. We come against Satan in the name that's above every name. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the rank supreme power, the God of all creation. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. What's his name? His name is Jesus. What do you say? His name is Jesus. Do you know him? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. The problem is, well, let me say it this way. The question is, does Satan know you? There was a bunch of religious oaks. They tried to cast out some demons, sons of Sceva. So this name of Jesus, we conjure you, come out of him. The demon said, hey, Butjan. No, I'm just paraphrasing. The demon said, hey, Jesus we know. Paul we know. But who the heck are you? Your religion, which is a belief system. You got to go beyond a belief system. Only. You got to have a relationship. Do you got a relationship? Do you? Then in the name of Jesus, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll speak in other tongues. In my name, they'll cast out devils. In my name, they'll heal the sick. In my name, they'll raise the dead. In my name. The question is, do you know him? You remember old Job? Okay, you don't, but Job. In Job 42, 9 to 10, the New King James Version. The New King James Version. Oh, man. It says, so Eliphaz, he actually kind of like, glad Job is called Job. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, praise the Lord. Went and did as the Lord commanded them. That's about the best part of that verse for me. But anyway, for the Lord had accepted Job. Have you been accepted in the beloved? Have you been accepted in the beloved? Well, Job was accepted. And the Lord, say that word with me. I was very poor. Said what?
Restore.
And the Lord did what?
Restore.
And the Lord gave back to Job twice as much as he had before. The only thing he never got back twice in the earth was children. Why not? Because he already had children up in heaven. They weren't dead, they were alive. Sweets are falling from heaven. So here's the point. If the enemy has stolen from you property, finances, or whatever, tonight he must pay back. It's payback time. It's payback time. But now, not only does God want restoration for your property, he also wants restoration for your soul. Your soul, which is in the Hebrew word, your nefesh. I'm quite clever sometimes. Your nefesh. The word nefesh in the Hebrew means the person. That's why the Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. I wonder what that means in the Hebrew language. Hit them over the head with the Bible. You know, preach so heavy to them on the plane, the oak accepts Jesus Christ just to get rid of you. Runs when he sees you coming. He who wins souls, the nefesh, he who wins the person is wise. Because nobody wants to listen to you if they don't like you. So you've got to learn to win the person. You see, there's something wrong with us. Because when Jesus would sit down and have a meal, the sinners would flock to him. The religious folks didn't like it. The sinners loved him. Go read your Bible. For this reason, we always quote the Son of Man, the Son of Man came. A wise man wins the person. Jesus was accused of being a friend of the sinners. And they called him a wine bibber and a glutton, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Aibo, shabalaka. How many sinner friends do you have? When last did you hang out with some sinners? Well, Jesus hung out with them all the time. And the godsdienstige ouens, the religious ook said, he's a wine bibber and a glutton. He hangs out with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus said, wisdom gives birth to many children. You know why I fell in love with Jesus? Because I actually eventually found out he didn't hate me. You see, the religious system, when I was bound by darkness, would always tell me how bad I was. I didn't need the Christians to tell me how bad I was. I knew how bad I was. But there was only one woman, Sybil Luke, 19 Sparks Road, Ladysmith. She was the only woman, she was a missionary. I'll never forget when I was 11 years old, full of hate and bitterness, and rebellion and hurt. And I hated Christians and I hated everybody. Hate. I'll never forget, she walked up to me and she put her head on my hand, her hands on my head. And she said, one day you'll be a king. She walked away. I don't think she knew what she was doing because she was a Presbyterian missionary, but she was, I now know what she was doing. She was prophesying to me. That word got so deep into my inwardmost parts that throughout the journey of darkness, right up until the point where I was going to cross a line and fulfill Satan's destiny for my life, which was to stop you from discovering your purpose in Christ. That was my satanic call. And one day, it's like Satan drew a line. And there were some Christians that knew how to pray. Not a bunch of religious fuddy-duddies with a ministry of condemnation. And I was not demon-oppressed, my friend. I was demon-possessed. The atmosphere was being affected by the prayers of the Christians. Don't ever underestimate your intercession. God spoke to me this morning, your prayers. Don't ever underestimate your prayers. Why do you think you can have a bazaar, and the whole church is there? Have a prayer meeting. Satan hates Christians that know how to pray. I know. And the atmosphere was being so affected by these praying Christians. Small group. I found out later that the demons were being somewhat rattled. Suddenly, I said a simple prayer. I said, quote, this is 28 and a half years ago. I said, if there's a God in heaven, Where are the true Christians? Quote, unquote. How many of you know the thief on the cross said a simple prayer? He said, remember me, Lord. Suddenly, the Spirit of God, I didn't know what was happening, but the Spirit of God came upon me, and I fell to my knees. And I saw the heavens open, and I saw the angels on the one side, and I saw the demons on the other side, and they were fighting. You can shabalak about spiritual warfare all you want. There was a war in the heavenlies. And they were fighting. I knew, because when the Holy Spirit takes hold of you, you just know. And I knew they were fighting for my soul. And I knew that if I crossed that line, there, I would never be able to come back. I would go to hell. I knew it. And supernaturally, because of those praying Christians, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me. Supernaturally lifted me up like that. And I watched my feet walk down the road. And I was a hobo. I was a beggar on the streets. And I watched my feet climb on the terrain. And I held on to that silver pole there in Horizon Roodepoort. And I went through one train station and came to a train station called Florida Train Station. And I looked up like that, and there was a cross in light above the spa. And there was the Kalani Hotel. And I walked off there. And I walked towards that cross. And I walked in the door, and there was some Tutanis. Utani Rita. She's still alive today. She's about 90-something. Tani Rita. Don't underestimate the Tunnies, eh? Ek stap in, ek walk therein. And when I walk in there, the demons manifest. I pointed my finger at her. I said, I know Satan's plans and purposes for this generation. What are you going to do about it? Tani looks at me and she says, sit down. Yes. It felt like someone hit me with a baseball bat. I sit. And the devil's so funny because now they're screaming. The demons are screaming. They're tuning, run, run. She's the devil. She's the devil. So I want to get up there and run out of that place. But you know what she did? She brought me a Coke and a pie. It was funny. I'm from the streets and I'm hungry. Let me tell you something. That act, never underestimate the act of kindness from a Christian soul. And that act of kindness caused me to stay there. And then I began to hear deep inside of me, one day you'll be a king. And Satan said, I'm going to kill you. One day you'll be a king. I'm going to kill you. One day you'll be a king. I'm going to kill you. One day you'll be a king. I'm going to kill you. One day you'll be a king. Hallelujah. And I learned the power of the prophetic. And then I realized when I got saved, I became a king. Are you a Christian? You're a king. Ladies, if I can be called a bride, you can be called a king. Relax, okay? Okay, are we there? All right, we got to finish this. The soul. Psalm 23, verse 3, please. I know it's simple, but just bear with me. Psalm 23, verse 3 says, oh, David, I like David. He used to talk to himself. It's true, he used to tune himself. He used to tune his soul. Why are you so downcast, my soul? Get with the program. Praise the Lord. But I don't feel like it. Praise the Lord. And David said, he does what? He does what? He restores my soul. And some Christians need restoration in their souls, in their person, in the heart from which God gave us to live from. Because there's discouragement, and there's bitterness, and there's hurt, and there's hatred, and there's anger. But He wants to restore your soul tonight. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You see, your soul is very important, because when your soul is sick, everything is messed up. Because the Bible says, may your soul prosper and you be in good health. Now, may you prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. So to the degree your soul prospers, because with a sick soul, you get sick. With a sick soul, you'll stay poor. Don't talk to me about poverty. I've been there. It didn't make me spiritual at all. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen? How many of you think that you could do with some restoration to your soul? And that depression and that discouragement and that attack against your mind, it's time for it to go. He wants to restore your soul. Let me hurry up so I can minister to you. Joy. Satan has stolen too many Christians' joy. You know, Christians don't like happy Christians. I found that out. 28 and a half years of serving Him. I found out that Christians don't like happy Christians. You know. Like, meneer, mevrou, Siebrei. Groot gedoop in a groot rom, sielmoensap. He restores my joy. Some of you need to get happy again. I love dancing with You, Lord. Listen, Jesus ain't dead, man. Okay, let's move on. Psalms 51, verse 12. The New King James Version says, restore to me. Give back to me. Restore to me the joy of Your salvation. Amen. Come on, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Okay. When Satan steals your joy, he steals your strength. That's why he doesn't want you to have joy. Joy unspeakable. You know, when you have that kind of joy, nothing gets you down. Some of you really need restoration in that area. Amen. Come on. Listen, Jesus is here in your midst. Where two or more are gathered together in My name, there I am in them and in their midst. Some of you just need to sit down, set a table, put a cup of coffee or tea there and say, Jesus, you're welcome, come join me, let's talk. Have a cup of tea, my Lord. I'll drink some tea with You, my Father. When last did you sit down and have a nice conversation with Jesus, the lover of my soul? Okay, He wants to restore to us the joy of His salvation. Remember when you first got saved? Then you got hurt. Join the club. When I got saved, my wife left me. Hallelujah. We'd been in the drug culture since we were 14, 15. And I got saved. She said to me, listen, you either carry on going with me to the nightclubs and the Joels, taking acid and tripping. And that's why I know the difference between hallucination and a vision. There's a big difference. And the dacha and buttons and yellow, whatever. And she gave me an ultimatum. You either come with me and we carry on joling and taking drugs, or I'm leaving you. I said, no. I love you, honey, but I'm going to stay with the Lord. And she left. And I prayed for 5 years that she would come back. And I'd go and preach in the church. And Yon said for me, where's your wife? I said, she's living with another man. But I had joy unspeakable and full of glory. I wouldn't let him steal my joy. The joy of my salvation. Yeah, I walk in the church. The elders meet me at the door and say, I'll say it like they said it. Ons soek nie jou tipe in die kerk nie. Ek sê, no, wat se tipe? I'll say in English, we don't want your type in die kerk. In the church. We don't want your type in the church. I said, what type is that? Your type. The worldly type. You're bringing the world into the church. I said, rubbish, man. I'm taking the church into the world. They chew me. Ons soek nie geskeide mans op die kansel nie. We don't want divorced preachers on the pulpit. I say, hey, then you must ask God to leave the church. They say, who come? Why? Why for? I said, because God was the voice. You dear Makach, what's this to do? Oh, you didn't know that. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. God was married. He was married to Israel. And she had a sister called Judah. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. But Israel was playing the harlot. She was committing adultery. Then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. See, that's why God hates divorce so much, because he knows the pain of betrayal and broken covenant. So restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Okay, we almost finished. What else? Health. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17 says, because the enemy, yes, I don't like the devil, eh? I will not be nice to him. Don't tell me to be nice to the devil. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. Look what he says. For I will restore, I will give back to you health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. Finally, time. How many of you have messed up? You lost some time. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. He wants to restore the time that the locusts have stolen, even though he sent them. Joel, what did I tell you? Joel chapter 2, verse 25. I tell you. So I will. I will. I will. I will. To you, the year's time that the swarming locust hath eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. Thy spirit gone. My great army which I set among you. God wants to restore the time that was taken from you. How many of you say, give me some time, give it back? Okay, sorry, I got to move on. Time. I hate time. As a prophet, as a pastor, I've got to have time. But as a prophet, I hate time. Man with two watches never knows the time. A persoon met twee horlosies never knows the time. The one says 4:15, the other one says 5:05. I know I've got two here. This one says 7:04 p.m., this one says 18:41. A man with two watches never knows the time. There's God's time and there's your time. So in the prophetic, you hate time. My time, your time. I prefer God's time. When I'm a pastor, so God wants to restore time. Isn't that cool? Okay, now here's the big question. We're going to close with this. And we're going to start praying. How to obtain restoration? How do we obtain restoration? Restoration of that which Satan has stolen. Restoration of our soul. Restoration of our joy. Restoration of time. Restoration of health. Restoration of our souls, our lives. Is anybody out there? How do we obtain restoration? Isaiah 42, verse 22. Let me show you why restoration is not taking place and how you obtain restoration. But this is so God wat praat. This is God now, he talk. But this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes. He says, these people are constantly having stuff taken from them. These people, they find themselves in a snare. You know what the snare is? In Luke chapter 17, verse number 1, in Afrikaans, die Here say, dit is onvermijdelijk vir julle dat struikelblokke nie sal kom nie. It is impossible for you that offenses should not come. And when you take offense, you, in the Greek language, that word offense means to take the bait. It's the trap itself. And the way they used to catch a wild animal was they dug a hole, they covered and they put a big piece of meat. And when the animal came to take it, it either fall in a hole or he gets caught in a snare. And that's what the word offense means. When you take offense, you take the bait of Satan. He says, and they snared in holes. They caught. They captured. And they are hidden in prison houses. In other words, they've been taken captive. They are for prey. For Satan walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour everybody, but there are some he may. Are you guys okay? They offer prey, and no one delivers for plunder. And why are they in this condition? I'm just going to wait for you guys. Stop moving around because it's distracting me. Okay, when you finished, I will finish now because I'm about to do my punchline. And yellow owns. Don't worry about knives and guns and things like that. I'll sort them out. Okay. Once I was preaching at a church, oh, come sit right next to me in the front row. And God says to me, he's here to kill you. But first he's going to kill the pastor. And the trigger is when the dude takes the offering. He's going to shoot him and then shoot me. So as the pastor got up there to do the offering, I said, but if you move here, one of two things are going to happen. I'm going to cast the devil out of you. I said that if you don't let the devil go, then I'm going to cast you out of here with the devil. Oh, don't look at me like that. I said to him, I'll eat you. I don't think any Christian's ever spoken to him like that before. He got such a fright. My one prophet friend is busy worshiping God. And this oak comes running on the stage. He headbutts me. Snot, bloot, and tongue. Boah! Die kerk mense is horrified. He gets back on there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So why? Why does this happen to God's people? And no one says, the word says there's so powerful in Hebrew. It says, and no one decrees. Nobody says. Nobody decrees. Restore. In other words, nobody says to Satan, hey, you thief, you. You've been stealing from me. Restore. Sevenfold. No, tonight we say, restore. Say to Satan, restore. Tell him tonight, restore. Tell Satan tonight, restore. Yeah, that's good. Tell him, restore. You're going to restore, devil, seven times. Restore. You're going to give back. Restore. You're going to give back to God's people seven times.